What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppables, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know what they put in President Trump's Wheaties today at Mar-a-Lago, but the president is dropping bombs all over the place. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. And the president holding a press conference at Mar-a-Lago. It's unbelievable. There are so many news nuggets dropping out of the presser today. Also, Don Jr. has landed in Greenland. And believe it or not, they actually flew. I kind of figured that the Trump party would be arriving by boat and they would be wearing, Viking hats with the hoods or with the horns. Anyway, they come in peace, Greenland. We come in peace. So we'll keep you updated on those developments because apparently this Greenland deal may, in fact, be the real thing. We may actually be purchasing Greenland. But just a few moments ago, President Trump dropped a bit of a bombshell that's going to create a lot of interest, I suspect, in our audience. The president announcing a name change is on tap for the Gulf of Mexico. Take a listen.
We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, which has a beautiful ring that covers a lot of territory. The Gulf of America, what a beautiful name. And it's appropriate. It's appropriate.
Yeah, I kind of like that idea. So the president announcing, and I had no idea this was an issue. I'm going to have to go back and check my campaign notes. But apparently this was a big issue for somebody. And the president now announcing that he wants to rename the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. How do you feel about that, ladies and gentlemen? I know a lot of you folks go down there. You have vacation. We have the prettiest beaches in all of the world. No, hands down, I will fight you to the death over that. And here's how I know that. We're getting off on a brief tangent here. So years ago, when I was traveling with the Obama campaign, we had to make a pit stop in Hawaii. So I had to spend a couple of days on Waikiki Beach, and I thought, oh, that's going to be kind of fun. I finally get to Hawaii. Everybody always talks about how great Hawaii is. So I go down there onto the beach, and it was like, I don't know, dirt. It was dirty sand. It was brown sand. I'm like, what is this? Then I go out to California, and I'm down on I was staying at this beautiful hotel I always stay at in Santa Monica called Shutters on the Beach, right down from the Santa Monica Pier. And I go out into the I kind of wade out a little bit into the Pacific Ocean, and the next thing I'm surrounded by all this seaweed and all this garbage and crap, and I'm like, what is this? But when you go to the beaches of the Gulf of Mexico, soon to be called the Gulf of America, it's like you're walking on sugar, and the water is a beautiful hue of blue and green, and it's really heavenly. You don't find that anywhere else except the Gulf of Mexico. And I know many of you have been down there, so you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, all that to say, President Trump wants to rename it, and I suspect this is all about this return to American greatness and domination, world domination. Do you realize when all is said and done here, if this thing with Canada turns out to be true and we take over Canada, we become the largest nation in the world as far as landmass goes. It's pretty remarkable when you look at it. But anyway, we'll keep you updated on developments in Greenland. We have our we have our Lewis and Clark expedition already landed, and they're having a good old time over there. So anyway, just curious what your thoughts are, ladies and gentlemen. Do you like that phrase, the Gulf of America? I will say this, Mr. President, and I'll put in a good message here for all of us on behalf of the Southerners and the audience. It doesn't really matter what you call the water, but that stretch of land from Mississippi to the Florida Panhandle, we refer to that as the Redneck Riviera. And we're just asking you, Mr. President, on behalf of the Southerners, please don't change the name of that. So please, that's all we ask. So anyway, we've got a lot going on today. Of course, Mark Zuckerberg dropping a bit of a bombshell today that Facebook is actually going to support free speech again. Now, I'm going to believe it when I see it, but I'm kind of excited by what I heard today, to be perfectly honest with you. We've got some audio we're going to be playing for Mark Zuckerberg in just a moment. But I will say this about Facebook and what's going on here. If you remember, it's not that Zuckerberg all of a sudden woke up today and had a change of heart. No, there's something else going on here. And that something else going on here is Donald Trump. Now, back in November, Trump invited Zuckerberg to have dinner at Mar-a-Lago. And Zuckerberg went down there. We don't know what they talked about, but I suspect it had a lot to do with a threat that if Zuckerberg didn't stop violating the United States Constitution, that they were going to take away all of the special protections the federal government has been giving Facebook and Meta. That's what I think happened here. And Zuckerberg, he's not stupid. I know he went to an Ivy League school, but he's not stupid. And he understands what's at stake here and the lawsuits that could be coming his way, because right now Facebook, by and large, is protected by our government from being sued. And if those protections were lifted, it would be a free-for-all over on Facebook. So Zuckerberg had a chance to think about this long and hard. And also, and I hope this factored into the equation, it also makes great business sense. When you look at what's happening over at X right now, and well, take away the past couple of weeks, Elon Musk, when he first bought X, said it was going to be a bastion of free speech. It was going to be a free speech platform. We know that is now changing. But early on, he exploded in growth. It was remarkable. So from a financial standpoint, I think this makes terrific news. As a matter of fact, here is Zuckerberg talking about getting rid of the fact checkers, these far left fact checkers. Cut number three.
First, we're going to get rid of fact checkers and replace them with community notes similar to X, starting in the U.S. After Trump first got elected in 2016, the legacy media wrote nonstop about how misinformation was a threat to democracy. We tried in good faith to address those concerns without becoming the arbiters of truth. But the fact checkers have just been too politically biased and have destroyed more trust than they've created, especially in the U.S. So over the next couple of months, we're going to phase in a more comprehensive community notes system.
All right, I'm good with that. I think that it's all welcome news. It can't possibly get worse. So this is good news that Zuckerberg is walking all of this back. What I find interesting is that ultimately, this was the fault of the Democrats and the legacy media. And Zuckerberg says that they got a lot of pressure over the past 4 years from the Biden administration to crack down on conservatives on social media. So many of you folks out there, you've sent me the messages, the text messages. Hey, Todd, we post something. Nobody ever sees it. What's going on here? Well, it's because of the Biden administration pressuring Meta/Facebook. Cut five.
The only way that we can push back on this global trend is with the support of the U.S. government. And that's why it's been so difficult over the past 4 years when even the U.S. government has pushed for censorship. By going after us and other American companies, it has emboldened other governments to go even further. But now we have the opportunity to restore free expression, and I am excited to take it.
I want to name the names. Who are the people? Who are the people inside the Biden administration that were ordering Zuckerberg and Facebook to silence conservatives? We need to know those names. Maybe just maybe Zuckerberg whispered the names into the ear of Donald Trump over dessert. Maybe that was what happened. But we got to know here, folks, who was it? Those people need to be named and shamed, and if they're in public office, they need to be removed from office. Anybody cracking down on the free speech of conservatives in this country, you're out of here, pal. You're out of here. So good news. I'm feeling pretty bullish about the whole thing, folks. I was the bad boy of Facebook. Back in the day, they actually called me, yours truly, the bad boy of Facebook because I would write very controversial things. I remember one in particular. I wrote about sitting in my Cracker Barrel rocking chair listening to the Gaither vocal band as I was reading my Bible. I got suspended on Facebook for that for like 48 hours. It's insane. Just insanity. So for those of you that still post, and I know a lot of you follow us on the Facebook, and I hope it's good news. But here's the thing. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have all these conservative influencers, and they're going to go out there, and they're going to start posting all their stuff on Facebook again, and they're going to put all of their time, all of their effort, all of their resources into Facebook, and Facebook will change the algorithm, or they'll crack down on something else, and guess what will happen? They'll be out, and their businesses will be destroyed. And we're watching that happen right now in real time, where a lot of these conservative websites are really struggling financially because they were counting on all of the traffic coming from these social media platforms, which goes back to what Rush Limbaugh said, never build your business on a platform that you do not control. And as much as I love the interaction on X, we don't get any traffic from X on our website. And I'm okay with that because, again, the way I'm structuring my website, I'm not dependent upon traffic coming out of X. I'm not. So if they want to crack down or change the algorithm, okay, fine. I think it's a stupid business model, but okay, that's up to them. They pay their bills, I pay mine. So anyway, we're going to open up the phone lines here. Curious to hear your thoughts on the name change. Trump wants to change the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. They're also doubling down. The administration's doubling down on this idea of purchasing Greenland, which, by the way, is an incredibly important strategic landmass. And we'll get into more of that a little bit later on. 901-260-5926. That's our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You know, we talk about what's happening with the economy. And I want to encourage you as you go into 2025 to take a long, hard look at where your money is invested. And if it's all in the stock market, you need to think about that really hard. My recommendation is to diversify your retirement plan, your savings, whatever you're trying to do, you need to diversify into physical gold, silver, and platinum. And that's why my friends at Priority Gold are really, really anxious to talk to you. Priority Gold, they make it very easy to diversify. You got to act now, though, and this is not some sort of a pressure thing. They just want to send you a free gold investor guide. They've got two decades of experience, thousands of five-star reviews, and they want to send you a free gold investor guide. Now, folks, if you're following the numbers, gold already up 21% this year and still climbing. And so this is a great opportunity to take a long, hard look at your retirement plans. By the way, if you're a young person, maybe you just got some Christmas money, might be a good idea for you to take a look at investing in gold as well. So here's what I want you to do. Write this number down. Text the word GOLDEN to 24999. That's GOLDEN to 24999. You're going to get a free gold investor guide. And it's not going to be a pressure sale here, folks. That's not how Priority Gold operates. They want to educate you first, and then you can make a smart decision. So again, text the word GOLDEN to 24999. know, we may have to rewrite some Jimmy Buffett songs, but otherwise, I kind of like the idea. The Gulf of America, it sort of flows right off the tongue there. Folks, this is all part of an effort by President Trump to infuse American greatness into future generations. That the idea that America, we've still got a long ways to go here. And I like the idea of taking over Greenland. I like the idea of taking over Canada. It makes a lot of sense, provided we could carve out, I don't know, Montreal and Toronto. Yeah, I think the country would be better off. I think the Canadians would be better off. They've got pretty darn good syrup up there. I'm just telling you. There are some good things about Canada. So anyway, we're going to be taking your calls on that. Also, Mark Zuckerberg opening up Facebook again. Is that enough to get you back onto Facebook now that you'll be able to freely write whatever's on your mind? 901-260-5926 is our number. Let's go to Dahlonega, Georgia, starting our day with Anna. Hi, Anna. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. I'm not against anything that Mr. Trump has in his mind to follow through with, but these things will take a lot of money to do, lots of money exchanging hands, lots of time, both of which we don't have a lot of. We're $35 trillion or more in debt. I think probably a better solution to getting things done, and I'm, who am I to say? I'm not even D.C. But I think that's a positive for me. The thing is, he's got his plates full. And I think possibly dealing with the debt, the borders, and possibly even, when Rand Paul came out and talked about how to get rid of the debt, he talked about that 2019 program that he was trying to get through, and that may not be a bad idea either, but we just don't have a lot of time to be buying other countries. I mean, that's going to be a real pain in the rear. And, but if he could do it, great, but I just think that this should be a priority list.
Now, with Greenland, I agree, and I'm pretty certain Trump has a priority list, and follow me on this, Anna. So you're right. There's not a lot of time. I would say Trump's got about a year to get all of this done, about a year. And then you'll have the midterms coming up and who knows. So if we're going to get something done, we've got to get it done in the first 2 years of his presidency. The people that he's put in charge of these cabinets, of the departments, these are people that are going in with an assignment. They're not going in to shape the department. They're going in with orders from Donald Trump. And this is all part of a leadership ploy here, a leadership plot, if you will, Anna. So you're right. Trump can't do everything at once, but he delegates. And all of these people, from Pam Bondi to Marco Rubio to Pete Hegseth, they will all be carrying out Trump's orders, whatever those orders may be. As far as the spending goes, and this is where I'm a little concerned. The idea of DOGE was to eliminate $2 trillion from the deficit. It needs to be 7 or 8 trillion for it to really make an impact. So to your point there, and I understand that we've got to be, watching our pennies. I understand that, but when it comes to Greenland, that is a very strategic piece of land that we need for our protection as a nation. Also, when you look at the shipping channels, and the shipping channels are going to be going through that part of Greenland, the northernmost territory, the northernmost parts of Greenland, that is something very strategic for us as Americans. So I get that. I mean, if we had the choice between buying Canada and Greenland, I'd go with Greenland. That's what I would do.
Yeah, because they've been ready a long time. I mean, this has been going on for years with Greenland, but the problem is, like the other caller said, The problems with Canada were self-inflicted by somebody who probably shouldn't have been president or prime minister.
Yeah, he's a practicing thespian, that guy. So, you know, what does he know about leading the government? And I got to run. We're super late for a break here, but thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926. Anna says, we might have had the cash to buy all this stuff. What do you say, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. The story of MyPillow is a testament to faith and transformation. Mike Lindell, once battling addiction, found a new path when he embraced faith and began following Jesus. In gratitude, Mike is excited to share an exclusive offer with our listeners. Right now, the standard MyPillow is available for just $14.88, a savings that's too good to pass up. There's a limit of 10 per customer, so don't wait to take advantage of this amazing deal now with promo code STARNS. Mike believes God gave him the idea for MyPillow in a dream, and it's designed with your comfort in mind. The pillow holds its shape and adapts perfectly to your unique sleep position, helping keep your neck aligned for the best night's sleep. And there's more. Take home a four-piece kitchen set for only $25. Enjoy the new mattress topper at $99.99 or pick up the luxurious MyPillow bed sheet starting at $49.98. Visit MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS to unlock huge discounts. Don't miss out. Order today. All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Our telephone number, if you would like to join the conversation today, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, just a few moments ago, President Trump actually weighed in on Canada and whether or not Canada should join the United States. Let's take a listen.
No right. But why are we supporting a country, 200 billion plus a year? Our military is at their disposal. All of these other things, they should be a state. That's why I told Trudeau when he came down, I said, what would happen if we didn't do it? He said Canada would dissolve. Canada wouldn't be able to function if we didn't take their 20% of our car market. You know, they send us hundreds of thousands of cars. They make a lot of money with that. They send us a lot of other things that we don't need. We don't need their cars, and we don't need the other products. We don't need their milk. We got a lot of milk. We got a lot of everything. And we don't need any of it. So I said to him, well, why are we doing it? He said, I don't really know. He was unable to answer the question, but I can answer it. We're doing it because of habit, and we're doing it because we like our neighbors, and we've been good neighbors. But we can't do it forever, and it's a tremendous amount of money. And why should we have a $200 billion deficit and add on to that many, many other things that we give them in terms of subsidy? And I said, that's okay to have if you're a state. But if you're another country, we don't want to have it. We're not going to have it with European Union either.
Well, there you go. So Trump seems to have thought all of this out. There is some sort of a plan afoot. What do you think about that, ladies and gentlemen? Should Canada actually become our 51st state? By the way, Trump also has now, and this is in the back and forth of the press conference at Mar-a-Lago, Trump says that he is not ruling out using military force to take Greenland or the Panama Canal. Now, we haven't talked a lot lately about the Panama Canal and Trump wanting to take it back from the Panamanians, which we should do. But folks need to understand, and it's hard for a lot of the Gen Zers to understand how important and how strategic the Panama Canal Zone is. When Jimmy Carter gave away the Panama Canal Zone, even though it was built by Americans and for our use, he put this nation in grave danger. And by the way, that canal zone is not run by the Panamanians. That canal zone is run by China, which is why Trump wants it back. So anyway, a reporter asked, well, can you assure the world that as you try to get control of these areas, you're not going to use military or economic coercion? And Trump said, no, I'm not. These reporters are idiots. He expects Trump to lay out his plans. Trump said this: "We need them for economic security. The Panama Canal was built for our military." And then the reporter interrupts. And that's when the reporter asked the question about, well, are you going to use military force? Can you commit to not doing that? And he goes, no, I'm not going to do that. And Trump points out to the reporter that the Panama Canal is being operated by China. China. And we're the ones who built it. We're the ones who gave it away. Well, no, I don't care if they call us Indian givers. Are we allowed to say that? I don't know, but I don't care. The fact of the matter is, if China decides to shut us out, not one single American ship is going to be able to get through. It was a bad decision by Jimmy Carter, and that's one of the reasons why he lost the election. It wasn't just the hostages in Iran. It was the Panama Canal and what he did there. Just despicable. Just despicable. All right, 901-260-5926. Trump is flexing America's muscle. That's what's going on here. And it's got a lot of people excited, got some people nervous. But I am telling you right now, folks, this is all good for Trump and whoever he is surrounding himself with. These are good people that are thinking this through and understanding that world wars are not over. Right? We've got to protect ourselves. And these are all things we're doing to make sure we don't end up in a world war again. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So yesterday, we told you about what happened at the Golden Globes. And it was transgender palooza. It was a tranny palooza. Are we allowed to say that word? Where's Dieter? I need to get a good clarification on if we can. I mean, it's like, I don't know. We can't say midget. I know that. We can only say little person. So we'll get a clarification, and we'll apologize if we need to. But anyway, it was all transgender all the time. And now Dylan Mulvaney's hairdresser is pitching a hissy fit. He was the guy that was walking the red carpet. He's got a big beard. He's one of the stars of the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy show. And he was very upset that people were mocking his appearance. Now, we did not mock. We simply pointed out, oh, there's a dude with a beard and a dress, and he had a hairy chest. And my recommendation was, sir, if you're going to wear a ball gown with some sort of a plunging neckline there, you need to get a lady bick and shave that hair. Nobody wants to see that. Anyway, this guy, Van Ness is his name, Jonathan Van Ness, he's very upset. Cut number 7.
Finish the carpet, changing the hair for the after parties, watching the Globes. What a fun night. I'm not going to lie. The extreme transphobic comments in the E! Glambot post and the Good Morning America post are kind of unsettling. Your friends and family feel way too comfortable being wildly transphobic on Instagram. You should probably talk to them about that. I'm going to go back to watching the Globes now.
Okay. Interesting. So this guy is non-binary. So I'm not sure why he, or at least that's what he says he is, which means he's what? He doesn't identify as anything, or he identifies as everything? I don't know. Now they're also saying your gender can be assigned by season. So it can be seasonal, you know, winter, spring, summer, fall, and you can change your gender up to 4 times a year now. So this guy is really upset because people were pointing out the obvious. Why is there a bearded dude in a dress? What's up with that? And it's a fair question. So all that to say, there is a movement afoot in Hollywood to push back on all of this nonsense. And it's coming from people like Taylor Sheridan, who created the Yellowstone series. And there's a lot of his stuff is on Paramount Plus. And there is a new series called Landman, which is based in Texas, and it follows the oil industry. And it's a pretty, I've become addicted to this show. It's a good show. The writing is spectacular. The characters are amazing. And they really push back against wokeness. And it's great. And it's getting huge numbers, by the way. The same as Yellowstone did when it first launched, before it went woke. And the same that Blue Bloods had, by the way. Blue Bloods, for its entire lifetime on CBS, was one of their top-rated series, and they never wavered from the central theme of that show. So anyway, Jerry Jones, I had no idea the owner of the Dallas Cowboys was an actor. And so one of the characters is in the hospital dealing with a heart issue. He works all the time, doesn't spend any time with his family. Jerry Jones comes by for a visit at the hospital, and you're going to hear this. This is just a fascinating conversation. But here's the NFL's Jerry Jones.
Now, I'm not saying I've done anything right, but I made my mind up a long time ago. I was going to work with my kids. They're involved in everything. They're involved in my leasing, oil and gas, real estate. And so when I got to Cowboys, I got it so that we could all work together. I thought I was doing it for them. But the one that got the most out of it was me. I just know it's not going to be this time, but you're going to be sitting here sometime in the future, laying here sometime in the future. And this room's going to be full of your business associates and the people you've worked with all your life. And more than likely, your children and family are going to be there because they're your children and your family. But you could have them there because they're the people you spent your life with, you worked with, you fell down with, you got up with. Not just Thanksgiving, Christmas. That's who you want to be with. So when that time comes like this, it's a celebration of your life. And you're not wishing you'd spend a little more time seeing a few more sons come up. That's the trick. That's the trick. Because that's going to be your glory. But I'm pretty proud of them Cowboys. I'm pretty proud of the stuff we've done in oil and gas. It pales in comparison to how proud I am is to have lived my life working with my kids. You got a chance to do something about that. I hope you will. And I'll tell you, young man, you're no spring chicken. And you ought to listen to Little Ish yourself.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm a few eggs short of a spring chicken, that's for sure.
Thank a lot of both of you guys.
Feelings mutual. Thank you, Jerry.
Okay. Don't make me get my rubber glove out.
Oh, Jeannie, I said hi.
Good to see you, Mr. Jones.
Wow, that was Billy Bob Thornton, by the way. It's really a great series, not for the kids. Don't let the kids watch that one. But Mom, Dad, you're going to love it. And guys, especially, it's pretty hardcore and pretty intense. So go and check that out. But again, that shows you there are so many people in this country who thrive for that kind of content on TV. And it's so rare. And it doesn't need to be, because there's a much larger audience for those kinds of shows than this garbage like the bearded dude in the dress puts out. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Folks, I am telling you right now that it's a great opportunity during the month of January to really start taking stock of your savings. If you're a young person, maybe you're in college or you're still in high school and you've got a part-time job, time to start putting that money away. Well, maybe now is the time to start investing in a little bit of gold. Gold, by last check, up 21%, and it is climbing. And it's a great opportunity, and it's a great way to fortify your savings. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to learn about it, right? You need to get a gold investor guide, and we're going to hook you up with a free gold investor guide. All you have to do is text the word golden to 24999. My friends at Priority Gold, they've got over two decades of experience. They have thousands of five-star reviews, and they're going to send you a free gold investor guide. There, it's folks, it's all about educating yourself and then making whatever decision is best for you and your family, right? Priority Gold makes it very easy to diversify your savings and your retirement into physical gold, silver, and platinum. But you got to act fast on this, folks. Again, text GOLDEN to 24999 for your free guide. That's GOLDEN to 24999.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
All right, President Trump isn't playing around, folks. He also had a message for Hamas. They are still holding Americans and Israelis hostage. Cut 14.
Those hostages aren't back. I don't want to hurt your negotiation. If they're not back by the time I get into office, all hell will break out in the Middle East.
Can you elaborate?
And it will not be good for Hamas, and it will not be good, frankly, for anyone. All hell will break out. I don't have to say anymore, but that's what it is. And they should have given them back a long time. They should have never taken them. There should have never been the attack of October 7th. People forget that.
No, they do forget. I think a lot of people have actually forgotten that we still have Americans that have been held hostage for well over a year now. We don't even know if they're still alive. And if they are, it will be a miracle. I mean, the people that took them are savages. And they've done savage, monstrous things to the Israeli and the American Jews that they kidnapped. So I hope that Hamas is paying attention here. And I hope the rest of the world is as well. Because I would suggest by inauguration night, if in fact those hostages are not released, then Gaza could very well become a glass parking lot. I mean, Trump is that serious. He's not going to mess around. And here's something for the rest of the world to understand. We actually are about to have a president who has a clear mind. And what he says, he will in fact do. Trump is the one calling the shots. During the Biden administration, they had a presidency by a committee. That's not the way it works here with Donald Trump. So, folks, I'm telling you, it is going to be an eye-opening experience for a lot of countries and a lot of people around this world. Trump is not fooling around anymore. He's not messing around. And he's not going to allow us to be taken to the cleaners by people like for example, like NATO. That's a great example. Everybody pays their fair share. We've been pulling their fat out of the fire since World War I, and those days are over. You're either going to pay your fair share or you're on your own. I mean, it really is that simple. So anyway, we'll get into more of that coming up the next hour. Liz Peek from Fox is going to drop by. Also, talking to a pastor from Chicago. His name is Corey Brooks. He's written a few things for Fox News, and we'll chat with him about the very latest on this black university out of Mississippi. And they're coming under fire because they accepted an invitation to perform at President Trump's inauguration. And this is an HBCU. The name of the band, by the way, is the Mississippi Valley State University Marching Band. And they're really excited about it. They accepted the invitation. They're raising money. I know that many of you yesterday, we posted the link to the GoFundMe on our page. And by the way, it's still there. So if you want to go and give money, but they're getting very, very close to their fundraising goal. And a lot of these radical race hustlers are out there saying, how dare you? How dare you? And they're saying that these college kids, these black college kids, are spitting in the face of MLK by marching in Trump's parade. It's lunacy. Now, just think about this. You've got some guy out there, and his name is, he calls himself a bishop. I don't know if he just self-appointed himself as a bishop. His name is Talbert Swan, and he says, it's shameful for the university's leadership to celebrate this. This decision not only insults the memory of Dr. King, but undermines the very mission of HBCUs to uplift and empower Black excellence. Another person saying, there's not a single Black person I know who wants anything to do with the inauguration. I mean, really? Come on. This is a moment to celebrate. And by the way, it was Donald Trump. Donald Trump's done more for the HBCUs than Barack Obama ever did when he was in office, and Joe Biden. It was Trump who gave them more than $250 million annually for the rest of the country's existence, we're crying out loud. All right, we got to scoot out of here, take a break. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back, America.
I don't really like working.
I'm going to need a priority parking space.
I only work remotely.
How are your safe spaces?
Can I bring my dog to work?
Will your company protect me against microaggressions?
You're triggering me. Is this interview almost over?
You don't run a daycare. You run a business. So why use high-priced recruitment agencies who charge you up to 40% of an employee's first-year salary? So they're focused on getting you the costly talent, not the best fit, which means you get more of this.
What's your policy on paying employees to attend protests?
And I demand 8 weeks of vacation.
And I need at least 12 weeks of paid vacation.
I'm going to need a lot of mental health days.
Do you have a game room?
My pronouns are Z's and Z'er.
Isn't it time you hired grown-ups? Call redballoon.work and skip those high-priced recruitment agencies. Call 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. That's 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. Redballoon.work.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
Satsers, that's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Great to have you with us. I'm Todd Starnes, and thank you for being a part of our audience today. Write down our telephone number. You're going to need this if you want to be a part of the show. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, there's an interesting story about McDonald's, and I had no idea they were doing this, but it all sort of makes sense now that this information is leaked. Well, McDonald's now says that it's going to start rolling back some of its diversity practices, diversity, equity, and inclusion, which basically means they only hire people based on their race or sex. That's it. They're not looking for people that are actually capable. So McDonald's announcing that they're going to be changing its approach to inclusion at the company. They will no longer set aspirational representation goals. They're also no longer going to target achieving diverse representation in senior roles. And what does that mean? It means they're going to start hiring white people again, because the only people that have been impacted by DEI are either very well-qualified people or white people. It's a pretty horrible thing. And McDonald's says they're also going to be ditching a program. This is from CBS News. They're ditching a program it created to encourage its suppliers to make their own diversity, equity, and inclusion pledges. And also, they're doing away with investing in diversity training for their employees. Instead, the company said they'll just have conversations with suppliers about inclusion as it relates to its business performance. Does it really matter if the potato was grown by an Asian farmer as opposed to an Hispanic farmer? Does that really make a difference? Does that change the flavor of the delicious French fry at McDonald's? McDonald's says they're going to now refer to its diversity team as the Global Inclusion Team. The company said the name change is more fitting with for McDonald's in light of our inclusion value and better aligns with the team's work. McDonald's says it will also pause external surveys. Well, I think this is good news, but it does explain why they've never been able to fix those blasted ice cream machines, right? Because they haven't been hiring people with the skills necessary to fix the ice cream machines. McDonald's follows a slew of other high-profile corporations, including Ford, Lowe's, John Deere, and others in rolling back DEI efforts. All of this after the Supreme Court ruling reversed affirmative action in college admissions. Ford and other employees have declined to participate in a human rights campaign survey that gauges a company's inclusivity for LGBTQ plus workers. Now, let me explain how this works. It's all a scam, right? So the Human Rights Campaign is a radical pro-LGBT activist group, and they were basically blackmailing all of these companies. You either take part in our surveys and give us money, or we're going to turn around and we're going to say you hate gay people. And so McDonald's said, well, we don't hate gay people here. Here's, take all of our money. That's what they do. And people buy into this nonsense. Very powerful people over at the Human Rights Campaign. And they're criminals. They're like the mob. They don't like me, and I don't like them very much either. So anyway, good for McDonald's, and I hope this actually improves the service at Mickey D's. But you know, a lot of other companies are starting to just give it the heave-ho. Does it feel like, ladies and gentlemen, that we're starting to come back to our senses as a country? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. On that note, about half of college students say they don't want DEI forced on them. The study published by College Rover surveyed 1,000 American college kids. They found that 2 in 5 have taken a class that focused on race, gender, or identity, and 54% said the classes should be mandatory for all students. The remaining 46% disagree with forcing such classes on the student body. Bill Townsend founded College Rover, telling Fox News that such students may feel apprehensive about enforced participation. The study found that 1 in 10 students feel uncomfortable discussing race, gender, or sexual identity in class, mainly due to the fear of being judged or misunderstood. Why are we discussing these kinds of things in the classroom anyway? What does that have to do with anything? And it seems to me if you're going to college and you're spending tens of thousands of dollars to get your degree in, we'll say lesbian literature, why do you need to know about DEI stuff? Why not learn how to make pottery or read a book or write something? Just pointing this out, ladies and gentlemen. A Rutgers report revealed that DEI initiatives may lead to increased discord, specifically among those it is meant to make more tolerant and accepting. It's all nonsense. Critical race theory. Throw it all in there together. The report claimed that across all groupings, instead of reducing bias, DEI training actually engendered a hostile attribution bias, amplifying perceptions of prejudicial hostility where none was originally present. So in other words, the DEI policies are making it all worse. And why is that? Because the left intentionally wants to keep us divided. And in this country, no other country in the world has this problem but us. But our kryptonite is the race issue. For whatever reason, that's it. And the left knows it, the media knows it, and they use it like a baseball bat. It's disgusting. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This story, a bit of good news, the New York Post reporting that an Ohio teacher who resigned after refusing to use a student's preferred pronouns and names will now get $450,000 from the school district. Vivian Garrity sued the Jackson local school district back in 2022. She was defended by Alliance Defending Freedom. The school tried to force Vivian to accept and repeat the school's viewpoint on issues that go to the foundation of morality and human identity, like what makes us male, what makes us female. They also ordered her to personally participate in the social transition of her students, which is a violation of the First Amendment. So good for you, Vivian. Good for you, Alliance Defending Freedom. That is a huge victory, and maybe, just maybe, the school district there learned a lesson. Or maybe not. Who knows? All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. Again, 901-260-5926. During the break, head over to our website. We've got some great stories for you to check out. Also, be sure to download our free newsletter and also our free app so you can listen to the Todd Starnes Show wherever you are in America. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So, if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. By the way, President Trump at this press conference earlier, and man, that was a wild press conference. I cannot wait until we start having these White House press briefings again and President Trump takes the stage, starts triggering all of these reporters. It's going to be a beautiful thing. Anyway, Trump says, hey, look, we're going to try to fix the way we do elections. And the president, here's what he had to say about that. Cut number nine.
A horrible place. One of the things we're going to do is we've got to fix the election so that we get honest counts and they get done by 10 o'clock in the evening or something thereabouts. They have places where they're still counting votes.
Well, it's true. It's true. And I can't count the number of Republican seats in the House that we lost as a result of what Trump just said. Because what they do is they go out there and they start looking for the votes they need to beat the Republicans. So at the end of election night, and I'm going to be generous here. Let's just say at 7 o'clock the next morning, the day after the election, they're still counting votes, but the Republican candidates are always ahead. Always. It never goes the other way. It's always this happens to the Republicans. And 2 weeks later, 2 months later, after they finish counting, all of a sudden the Democrats win. Trump says, you know what? We're not going to do that anymore. Those days are over. Good for you, Mr. President. Now, you folks in Georgia, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. There's a guy there by the name of Jeff Duncan. He's your former lieutenant governor. He is currently a CNN contributor. And yesterday, the Georgia Republicans voted unanimously to expel Jeff Duncan out of the party. So Jeff Duncan is no longer a Republican. To refresh our national audience here, Duncan is the guy who argued against President Trump's claim that Georgia's election was rigged. He also became a prominent figure through his efforts to push back on Trump. The guy hated Donald Trump. There's really no polite way to say it. Hated Donald Trump. And this guy has been fighting Republicans ever since. He's triggered. He's like Georgia's version of Adam Kinzinger. He wasn't even a rhino. The guy's a Democrat. Since Trump's victory, the Georgia State Republican Party has followed the national trend of moving closer to the incoming president's vision for the party. The party released the unanimously adopted resolution that listed all the evidence in support of why Duncan needed to get the heave-ho. So there you go. Good for you, Georgia Republicans. I love this one. Jeff Duncan is hereby demanded to cease calling himself a Republican or using his false claim of being a Republican for personal profit. Jeff Duncan is hereby banned from all property owned or leased by the Georgia Republican Party and all events held by or under the authority of the Georgia Republican Party. Man, they're playing hardball in Georgia. Jeff Duncan is hereby expelled from the Georgia Republican Party. Jeff Duncan is hereby banned from qualifying as a candidate of the Georgia Republican Party. The nomination of Jeff Duncan as the Republican candidate for lieutenant governor is hereby expunged. Wow, it's like he doesn't even exist. You guys, they're erasing all memory of Jeff Duncan. Holy cow. But I like this, ladies and gentlemen. I like it. And we need to start playing hardball. People come into the Republican Party and they're closet Democrats. They try to sabotage our efforts. No, we're not going to take that anymore. All right. President Trump, by the way, also, this was a wild, I'm telling you, it was a wild free-for-all press conference. Trump covered a lot of topics. Here's what he had to say about the J6 defendants. Cut 13.
First, you said on your first day of office, you're going to pardon January 6th defendants. Are you planning to pardon those who were charged with violent offenses?
Well, we're looking at it, and we have other people in there. And as you see, I guess 24 or 28 people came now from the FBI. That came out very quietly. Nobody reported it, but they had people in some form related to the FBI. They had four or five people that were strongly related to the FBI. We have to find out about that. We have to find out about Hezbollah. We have to find out about who exactly was in that whole thing, because people that did some bad things were not prosecuted. You know, I see it all the time, and you see it too.
Well, it's true. The guy who shot and killed Ashley Babbitt, she was the only person who was killed on that day. That person was a law enforcement officer with a rather sordid career. So here's the question. Do you believe that Trump should just go in and offer blanket pardons for everybody that was involved on J6, even those that may have done things like broken a window, or maybe somebody stole Pelosi's laptop, or I forget what, they went into her office. So all of those people have already served their time, and then some. As a matter of fact, a lot of people, if they were Democrats, would not have been charged at all. So how do you feel about Trump just coming in, one fell swoop, pardoning everybody? There are a lot of grandpas out there that were just there. And my concern is this, when you go back and you look at the videos, and we still don't have all of the videos from that day, but when you look at the videos, it's very clear that there were FBI agents there leading people around, opening up doors, letting the crowds in. If you're in that crowd and an FBI agent or a Capitol Police officer opens up the door to the Capitol building and says, right this way, that's not a crime. If you've got police officers outside the Capitol building and they're moving aside the police barricades and saying, come on in, that's not a crime. And yet all of those people got charged. And it's not just a matter of you are hereby summoned to turn yourself in. They're sending in SWAT teams to go and arrest these law-abiding people. I got a problem with that. So should Trump actually consider issuing pardons for all of these people? Because it certainly looks like, and we still don't have the full story here, but we now know that dozens, if not more, FBI agents or people affiliated with the FBI were there, were involved in the planning, were involved in the execution of what went down on that day. And it certainly does appear, based on some text messages that have already leaked out, that the FBI was trying to embarrass Donald Trump. So there was a lot more going on there. Will we ever find out the real story? Probably not. We're still waiting for the government to release the JFK documentation. And they still haven't done that. So it does make you wonder what our government is really up to and what our government's really capable of. And that should concern all of us. I find it interesting that you've got a president in the office right now who's honoring people like George Soros. Meanwhile, this same administration is out there arresting pro-life grandmothers whose only crime was praying in front of an abortion clinic. Those kinds of people are doing hard jail time in federal prisons. If we're going to pardon the J6 protesters, we've got to pardon everybody who was targeted by Joe Biden's FBI and Justice Department. We got to pardon all of them. I cannot justify for 1 minute a grandmother, a sweet, innocent grandmother, being thrown in prison by Joe Biden simply because she prayed outside an abortion mill. All right, we got to take a quick break here. We're going to the phones when we come back. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
I'm going to need a priority parking space.
I only work remotely.
How are your safe spaces?
Can I bring my dog to work?
Will your company protect me against microaggressions?
You're triggering me. Is this interview almost over?
You don't run a daycare. You run a business. So why use high-priced recruitment agencies who charge you up to 40% of an employee's first-year salary? So they're focused on getting you the costly talent, not the best fit, which means you get more of this.
What's your policy on paying employees to attend protests?
And I demand 8 weeks of vacation.
And I need at least 12 weeks of paid vacation.
I'm going to need a lot of mental health days.
Do you have a game room?
My pronouns are Z's and Z's.
Isn't it time you hired grown-ups? Call redballoon.org and skip those high-priced recruitment agencies. Call 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. That's 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. Redballoon.org.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Fox News contributor Liz Peek joins us. And Liz, I don't know if you've heard the news. I don't know if Liz Peek, if the Peek family vacations down in the Redneck Riviera. But they're about to rename the sucker, the Gulf of Mexico, soon to be known as the Gulf of America, according to President Trump.
Yeah, I heard that. I thought that was, you know, really the guy is just so creative. At the end of the day, who thinks up these things? He does. I mean, I love it. I think it's hilarious. I'm not sure we have the unilateral power to do it. But boy, you ought to be buying stocks for companies to create new maps because, wow, is there going to be a lot of redrawing of the Caribbean, et cetera. Pretty funny.
It's hilarious. And then he sent off his son, Don Jr., I guess, on the expedition to plant the flag in Greenland. You know, as humorous as that may be, I mean, these are pretty strategic areas, not only Greenland, but also Panama and that canal zone. That is a hugely important area for the United States.
Yeah, no question. I think, look, I've always liked the Greenland idea. That is not a joke. I mean, Greenland has not only strategic importance in terms of position, access to the Arctic, et cetera, obviously, but also enormous quantities, I think, reserves of rare earths and things that we don't have. So it actually makes a great deal of sense. Obviously, the Danes don't have much to do with it, but I mean, you know, it's not like they're exactly next door. And so I think that's actually a legitimate idea. It's one of these things where if you get the people on board and if there is some sort of financial arrangement that could be reached with Denmark, why not? I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
I think there are, what, 50, 60,000 people that actually live. It's not a very large, you know, the actual, the land that you can actually inhabit is not very large. So
that's right.
Yeah. So we're not talking about millions and millions of people. I was really intrigued by your column in Fox Joe Biden, just really embarrassing. It's almost like they're trying to clean out the bank accounts, giving all of our money to Ukraine, giving awards to all of these radicals like George Soros. Are you sensing that as well?
Well, not just radicals, but toxic people. I mean, let's think back of a few short years where Joe Biden promised to bring the country together. Everything he is doing now is so offensive. It is such a tripwire for bitter partisanship. And so, you know, there are either two explanations here. One is that he really is just a mean old man and never believed any of that comedy, let's get together and have a, you know, and have a more civilized kind of political discourse kind of person, or he really isn't calling the shots. And Todd, you know, and I know that has been speculated about for 4 years that he is really not in charge. And I think in the last year in particular, when people really began to see how he couldn't sit down for an interview without making horrendous mistakes, where he couldn't debate Donald Trump, et cetera, I think people now have come around to the view that there's a lot being done behind the scenes in the White House, whether it's his chief of staff, whether it's Jill Biden, who knows? But look, my view is this has to stop. I think the Republicans have to get tough with him. This removal of 600 plus million acres of federal waters acreage from being able to drill for oil and gas on them, that is really a bad deal. I mean, we have companies now coming to the United States. Why? Because we have enormous energy resources, and because now we have a president willing to exploit those energy resources. Why is that important? Because the demands for power from AI and other new industries are vast. I think this current administration has just got their head in the sand. I know they don't like fossil fuels. By the way, you know, removing these acres from usage is not going to have anything to do with climate change. We all know that that is just a complete red herring. This is just spiteful, but it's hurting the country. And I think Republicans honestly need to tell Biden that if he keeps on this path, letting Yemeni prisoners out of Guantanamo, and I will guarantee you he's going to try and close Guantanamo somehow in the next week. Wait and see. I'm sure there's going to be some announcement for that. There'll be more pardons that gets everybody riled up. I think Republicans need to go to Biden and say, look, this is over. You're out. And by the way, the people voted for our agenda, not your agenda. So stop now, or we're going to haul you before Congress and demand hearings, which will get at the question of whether you are making these decisions. And if you are not, they all should be overturned. If you are not mentally competent to basically make these decisions, outline these policies, if you can't defend them, they should all be overturned by reason of the fact that you are not a competent president.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and we've got to. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number, folks. Liz Peek joining us, a Fox News contributor. Liz, as we look towards Inauguration Day, there's a lot of talk about how much time Trump is actually going to have to get the agenda through, and it's a massive agenda. Folks are saying maybe a year he's got to really get everything done that he wants to get done. What would you say needs to be at the top of the list?
Well, I this is a big argument right now. Clearly the border. I think a lot of that can be done by executive action. That's how he did it the first time, and that's how Joe Biden undid it. But we got to close the border. I mean, this happening at our southern border has been much talked about now, but it is a serious, serious threat to the security of our country. Secondly, I think we really do have to unleash the energy industries to pursue, again, the vast resources we have in places like Alaska and deep water offshore Mexico, offshore Gulf of Mexico in our waters, obviously. And that's an incredibly important thing to do because these projects take years. There's probably 4 to 5 billion barrels of oil in the wildlife refuge up in Alaska, which Joe Biden has put off limits. Let's bring it back on limits. And in the next 3 or 4 years, we will actually start producing oil out of that incredibly fertile area. I think energy is incredibly important. It's a promise that Donald Trump made And then the third thing is, look, I am very excited about DOGE, about the possibility that we might actually begin to root out some of the wastefulness, corruption, excess spending in our government. We have to do this. Otherwise, there are going to be a lot of people that are hurt when various kinds of programs wind down. But let's get at the programs that no one is using, that aren't productive for our country. What would I like to see in addition? Immigration reform. I want people coming to this country who we want to have in this country. That's something that Trump proposed in his first term. And guess what? It polls very well. Most people think that is how we should govern our immigration policy. I also don't like birthright citizenship. I think that needs to get out of here. And finally, I'd like to see the census change so we're not counting illegal immigrants, because the way things are now, Democrats running California and New York and other blue states who have welcomed people with all kinds of and benefits and so forth, they get to count those residents. And so the politicians who are losing legal residents and losing tax dollars never get held to account. So, as you say, there are a lot of issues. And so I've probably listed 10 by mistake. But anyway,
it's okay.
Those are the things I'd start with.
No, it's a lot. And and I'm excited about what's about to happen in this country. I really do believe Trump is going to usher in what he called the golden age of America. And certainly expanding by, if we get Greenland and Panama Canal, it's going to be a lot of fun, Liz.
I hope so. I'm on board. We need to have some disruption in this country. I welcome RFK Jr. looking at our health industries, because, it's pretty clear that we spend too much and the outcomes are not worth it. Education, oh my word, we need a massive upheaval in our public education. Look, I just hope there are people willing to take some risks and some Democrats, frankly, who are willing to get on board, because we're going to need, the way our legislative process works, we're going to have some Democrat support for some of this. Let's hope we get it.
All right, Liz Peek, everybody, from Fox News Channel. Liz, good hearing from you.
Nice to talk to you. Thanks so much. Happy New Year.
All right, Happy New Year. It's exciting, and there's a lot to be excited about, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, want to bring you up to speed while Liz and I were chatting. The House just passed the Lake and Riley Act to ensure that illegals committing crimes like shoplifting face detention and deportation. Had they had that rule already on the books, Lake and Riley would still be alive. Anyway, the shocking part of the story, 159 Democrats voted against it. 159. So you had 159 Democrats who believe that illegals who commit crimes like shoplifting deserve to be walking the streets of our towns and our cities. Just something for you to think about, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, President Trump, again, weighing in on the J6 defendants. Cut 15, please.
More than 140 police officers were injured by rioters on January 6th. Will you pardon anyone who attacked a police officer?
Well, the only one that was killed was a beautiful young lady named Ashley Babbitt. She was killed, and there was actually somebody else that was killed, also a MAGA person, but people don't give it 100% credibility. I'm going to find out about it, and we're going to find out. But Ashley Babbitt was killed. She was shot. She had never been shot. She was shot for no reason whatsoever.
The question is, will Ashley Babbitt's killer be held accountable? I mean, if you want to have that conversation, if you want to have that discussion, it is a fair discussion to have. But let's deal in facts, ladies and gentlemen. Can we do that? Now, the president also talking about Hamas, and so he had his Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, there at the presser at Mar-a-Lago today. And the president actually interrupted the comments to weigh in on What's going to happen if they don't release those hostages being held? Let's take a listen to that.
Those hostages aren't back. I don't want to hurt your negotiation. If they're not back by the time I get into office, all hell will break out in the Middle East.
Can you elaborate?
And it will not be good for Hamas, and it will not be good, frankly, for anyone. All hell will break out. I don't have to say anymore, but that's what it is. And they should have given them back a long time. They should have never taken them. There should have never been the attack of October 7th. People forget that.
There you go. So Hamas better pay attention here. Trump is, when it comes to protecting American people and defending Americans, President Trump will fight back. You know, they say, oh, Trump's a Trump is a dove. He doesn't want us involved in wars. No, we don't want to be involved in war. Nobody wants to be involved in war. But if you're going to come after our people, Donald Trump is saying there's going to be a price to pay here. And I like, this is the kind of language that Hamas is going to understand. And if they don't, well, you know what? There's going to be a price to pay. What do you want me to say here? By the way, Trump also announced at this presser, so much stuff to get through, that a company by the name of DAMAC Properties, they're going to be building data centers across the United States. This is about a $20 billion investment. Cut number 10, please.
And I'm thrilled to announce today that DAMAC will be investing at least $20 billion over a very short period of time into the United States, and they may go double or even somewhat more than double that amount of money. It's a great thing, and I believe he will say that he's doing it because of the fact that he was very inspired by the election. They wouldn't do it without that election. I can tell you a lot of people wouldn't. You saw last week where we have somebody who's going to go from $100 to $200 billion, and we have many other people, and we'll be bringing some of them out. Some of them like to do it somewhat more quietly, and some don't, and they feel so strongly about the country that they want to let people know about it. But it's an honor to have such a great investor investing in our country. The investment will support massive new data centers across the Midwest, the Sun Belt area, and also to keep America on the cutting edge of technology and artificial intelligence. Very big into the data centers, and that's going to be a very hot item in the coming years, as you know, with AI.
All right. Well, it's exciting news. And you do wonder, and by the way, the guy behind DAMAC Properties also spoke, and he pointed out that they held off on this investment until Trump became president. And so you have to wonder how many other big companies, big corporations out there were actually holding off on growing and investing in America until we got new leadership here. It does make you wonder. So this is, again, an exciting time as we move towards this. What did Trump call it? A golden age in America. All right, let's go to the phone lines. OG in North Carolina. Hi, OG. What's on your mind?
Well, just listen to the presser at Mar-a-Lago. One conversation that I don't think has really been picked up on is that the Stand Tall America process and peace in the world and, you know, hostages got to come back. One collateral effect that's not been talked about is that Iran may decide, okay, time to sit down and shut up and stop funding Hezbollah, Hamas, et cetera, et cetera.
How do you figure that?
I think that they're not stupid people. They're going to recognize that, you know, he made the comment, you know, that, you know, it's going to be all kinds of bad stuff happening if they don't provide the hostages by the 20th, by the inauguration. They're going to have to be putting pressure on, you know, on all of the Middle East countries that are, you know, that are not friendly to the U.S. And they're going to say, you know, it's about time we sat down, shut up.
Well, if they know what's good for them, absolutely. Yeah, go ahead. Finish your thought, OG.
And Todd, it's a message for Putin as well as, you know, Little Rocket Man, the whole nine yards. They're all going to have to stop and think, okay, this is not a mess around situation. If we want to survive, he's only going to be here for 4 years. we're going to have to sit down and put everything off.
You see, OG, here's the thing, OG. And this is why Hamas needs to be very worried, because Trump will do that, if nothing else, to send a message to everybody else. So if Hamas doesn't release those hostages, we're looking at Gaza could become a parking lot.
Well, they all need to be worried. I mean, if they don't do that by the 20th, don't be surprised if Iran doesn't even have a hand grenade, much less an atomic bomb.
Well, could be. All right, OG, I got to run. We are heading up to the news here. Thank you for calling in. By the way, our number, write it down, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And also, to all of our new listeners out there, head over to the website. Go check it out. We got a lot of stuff for you to read over there, a lot of stuff for you to do. And be sure to download our podcast. You can listen to all 3 hours of the Todd Stearns Radio Show wherever you are in the country. All right, we'll be right back, folks.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, it has been a really busy, weird news day today. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. Happy to have you with us today. By the way, don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight on Newsmax, I'll be interviewing Congressman Michael Collins from Georgia. The congressman, by the way, writing some pretty incredible legislation that got passed today, the Lake and Riley Act. The congressman making good on a promise he made to the family of Lake and Riley. Now, of course, she is the young lady from Georgia, the Georgia nursing student. She was out for a jog when she was brutally killed in the most heinous of ways by an illegal alien who should not even be here. I mean, it's just unbelievable. What gets me is that not everybody in the House of Representatives thinks it's a good idea to protect the American people from these criminal illegals. Well, I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend from East Tennessee, Congressman Tim Burchett. Congressman, honored to have you with us today. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate you having me on, brother.
So help me out here. How is it that Democrats have a problem with protecting the American people from very dangerous illegal alien murderers?
159 of them do, apparently. The only thing I can figure is that they just want total destruction of this country. And they have to admit they made a huge error in allowing 14 million that we know of illegals, and they're here illegally. You know, coming in our country doesn't make them a citizen any more than me sitting in my garage makes me a Corvette. So I think America needs to wake up. And the Democrat Party needs to address this inwardly. I think, yesterday we certified the election and everybody thought there was going to be a big to-do about it. And the Democrats didn't say boo on it. And what the reason was, they started reading their opinion polls and stopped listening to those airbags on The View and the other people in Hollywood and the musicians that they think are running their party. It used to be the working man's party. And now it's just the far leftist elitist. Seem to have more money than sense.
It's the most unbelievable thing that, and it seems to me a low bar here. I personally believe that when you cross the border, that is a criminal act, and that makes you at that moment in your life a criminal. No reason, no matter the reason why you're coming across the border.
No.
But here we're just talking about very bad people who have done very horrible things. And the reality is, Congressman, Lake and Riley would still be alive today had we just kept this guy either in jail, in prison, or shipped him back across the border.
Yeah, well, I warned people about shipping them back over the border under the Biden administration. We've come to find out they're back over here 3, 4, 5 different times. And if they commit a heinous crime, I'd say hang them. I'm not over exaggerating. You know how I feel about this situation, and somebody losing a precious daughter like that to me is beyond belief. I can't even imagine the. I'm a dad, and I can't even imagine the loss. It's just beyond belief. And American Congress, the Democrats just poured salt in those people's wounds. And Thune tells us that he might even bring it up. We've been told maybe this week even to get it going in the Senate. Isn't that a refreshing change? You know, I had a bill that I found out we're sending $40 million a week to the Taliban. You know, they'll hate us for free, and they want to kill Christians and Jews, yet this administration that we know of is sitting them. And I couldn't even get our senators to do anything with it. I mean, you know, they need to get out from behind, in front of those cameras and television screens, and dadgum go to work. This is ridiculous. And we've got a problem in both parties. And I think the one thing now with X and folks like yourself taking the place of our traditional media is that there's going to be some accountability and some retribution.
And Congressman, let's back up for just a moment, because I know somebody just wrecked their car listening to the radio program here. We're giving money to the Taliban?
Yes, sir. I had a bill to stop it, and I got it through the House. It took forever. It's like pulling dadgum teeth. And, you know, I've ranted and raved about it. Last night, Elon Musk tweeted about it, because I wrote a letter to President Trump. I said, you've got to stop this. And today, there was a reporter named, let me tell you what his name, Brian. Brian Glenn from with Real America's Voice had the guts to ask the president about the $40 million we're sending to the Taliban. And Trump was aware of it, of course. But, you know, that we got to start holding both parties accountable. I can't say that enough. I can't, you know, these guys and gals come home in our Senate and our House. Oh, they preach the gospel. You know, they'll quote the scripture and they'll talk about how right wing they are and conservative. And then they come up and just sell us down the river. It makes me madder at the Republicans than it does the dadgum Democrats. We ought to be running to the, you know, to the courthouse lawn over this bill, this travesty that the Democrats tried to block this time. You know, we passed it once before and Schumer wouldn't even bring it up. And now it's the same program. They just, because they don't want to admit they made a big mistake, and they have. I mean, we're so compromised, both parties are. It's beyond belief.
Congressman, I want to ask you a couple of questions coming out of that press conference at Mar-a-Lago. The president covered a lot of ground. First of all, he said that he wants to rename the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. How do you feel about that?
I love it. I don't care. Mexico's a corrupt nation. It's our borders are run by cartels. We've allowed the cartels to actually control our side of the border in some areas, truth be known. You know, they're awful, and they're allowing all this to go on out of greed, and we're in bed with them. Our politicians are, and allowing all this stuff to go on. Look, Todd, I've never asked you personally about your faith. I assume you're a Christian from what I've heard you say. But these children that we're trafficking into this country to satisfy the unsatisfiable urge of these horrible pedophiles, which is just straight from the pits of hell, it's unbelievable to me that we allow this to continue when we know what they're doing. We know exactly what they're doing. They're selling these children across our border, and these NGOs, our non-government organizations, are using them, and they're putting them on farms, they're putting them in factories, and they're selling their precious little bodies. And it just, to me, that's the kind of thing that keeps me awake at night. It's not the deficit spending. It's what God's going to do to this country if we do not take control of this issue.
No, I'm with you there 1,000%. And the fact that we don't know where these kids are going once they cross the border, we don't know who's bringing them across the border. It is a frightening thing, and you're right. You know, we ask God to bless America. We need to be asking him to have mercy on us as well. Congressman, of course, this coming from a good old Southern Baptist guy. So,
yes, sir.
Congressman, real quick before we let you go, there's a lot that needs to be done. How long do you think the president really has to get that that agenda through. We're hearing reports of maybe about a year before, you know, the coalition start falling apart. What's your take?
I'd say 100 to 150 days. He wow. better load the cart. He better load the cart. And I can tell you right now, we start, you know, you got to give and take. And you know, we start this crazy spending, you'll lose me. And I'm afraid that's what it's going to take for some of our more liberal members. You know, we got a 3 or 4 person majority, a bad flu season, and we're in the minority. So I think people better start putting some pressure on their members. Cut the spending, fix the border, punish our enemies, and get back to fixing America.
And send the conservatives a Z-Pack just in case. Jeez, the loo. But it's true, though. It's a good point. Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Always appreciate you coming on the program. Thank you.
Todd, God bless you. Thank you so much, and thank your viewers and listeners. I hear from y'all all the time. They see me on your show, and it does me well. And the reason they're firing at us is because we're over the dadgum target. Let's take our country back, Todd.
Thank I love you. It. Let's do it. Congressman
Pray Tim for Burchett. Our country. See you, brother.
Congressman Tim Burchett, everybody, out of East Tennessee. He said we're, what, just 3 or 4 guys out of a flu season of losing the majority. All right, take your vitamins. My goodness. But, you know, the congressman does have a great point here, is that we've got to get as much done as humanly possible. So enough of the politics. And I know the complaining, everything. Look, Speaker Johnson, he's the Speaker of the House. That fight's over and done with for now. We got to focus on the bigger issues here, which is getting Trump's agenda through Congress. Folks, we got to secure the border. We got to start deporting people. We've got to defund, and we've got to get rid of the Department of Education. Those are the big ones on my agenda right now. We can do those things. I think we're going to be able to save America. If we do not dismantle the Department of Education, I don't have much hope. I really don't. So we've got to make sure that part of the Trump agenda gets through. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926. That's our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Wow, this is a crazy story. Two bodies were found in the landing gear of a JetBlue airplane. This happening in Florida at the Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport. Broward County Sheriff's deputies were on the scene at Terminal 3. They said the bodies were found in the landing gear during a routine inspection after the plane had landed. Could you imagine? Hey, Carl, what's that thumping noise? Jeez, alone. It's terrible. Bodies were not identified. And more importantly, they said, I find this fascinating that they put this in the story. More importantly, the airport said the incident did not impact its operations. That's good news. Just a couple of dead bodies there, Fort Lauderdale. Just a couple of dead bodies. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to go back to Mark Zuckerberg. And I am cautiously optimistic here at the news coming out of Facebook Meta today that they are going to finally do away with these radical left fact checkers. And I hope Zuckerberg is on the up and up. Trump actually was asked about this at the presser today. And Trump said that they asked, did you threaten or did the threat you made to Mark Zuckerberg, do you believe that played any sort of a role? And Trump said, yeah, probably. Trump's a pretty honest guy. Anyway, the brand new Meta hired a brand new guy. His name is Joel Kaplan, a longtime Republican, and he was on Fox and Friends this morning, cut number 8.
No question that there has been a change over the last 4 years. We saw a lot of societal and political pressure all in the direction of more content moderation, more censorship. And we've got a real opportunity now. We've got a new administration and a new president coming in who are big defenders of free expression. And that makes a difference. One of the things we've experienced is that when you have a U.S. president and administration that's pushing for censorship, it just makes it open season for other governments around the world that don't even have the protections of the First Amendment to really put pressure on U.S. companies. We're going to work with President Trump to push back on that kind of thing around the world.
Yeah, but the challenge, of course, is that it's been happening in America more so than any other place. And it's been really, really bad. And the fact that Zuckerberg came out, and I appreciate him doing this, and I can't imagine, you know, he's a younger guy, just turned 40, but still, you're in your 30s at the time, and the federal government comes in and says, hey, you need to do X, Y, or Z, and if you don't, there's going to be a terrorist attack. Well, what do you do? What do you do? So Zuckerberg, there's a part of me that feels like he's getting it and that maybe he's starting to see the big picture now, and I hope he is. And if he's not, then Trump's going to throw down the hammer. No doubt about it. Cut number three.
First, we're going to get rid of fact checkers and replace them with community notes similar to X, starting in the U.S. After Trump first got elected in 2016, the legacy media wrote nonstop about how misinformation was a threat to democracy. We tried in good faith to address those concerns without becoming the arbiters of truth. But the fact checkers have just been too politically biased and have destroyed more trust than they've created, especially in the U.S. So over the next couple of months, we're going to phase in a more comprehensive community notes system.
And so we've got the story up at toddstearns.com, and you can go through and a number of the changes he's making. They're moving some of their operation to Texas, which is good news. Just do not pack your politics, Californians. Do not pack your politics. But Zuckerberg seems to be pretty serious, at least according to this this video. Cut number six, please.
But the bottom line is that after years of having our content moderation work focus primarily on removing content, it is time to focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our systems, and getting back to our roots about giving people voice.
All right. Well, there you go. And I hope that is the case, but I'm willing to give the guy a little bit of leeway here only because he went down and had supper with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And that does count for something in my book. So we'll see how all this plays out. What about you? Do you have hope that free speech is returning to Facebook? I'd like to hear from you. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, coming up, we've got a brand new guest coming on the program. His name is Corey Brooks. He is a senior pastor out of Chicago, and he has been making some headlines over at Fox News lately, talking about a lot of important things in the culture when it comes to the black community. He is known as the rooftop pastor, and he gained national attention for spending 94 days and holding rooftop vigils to transform a notorious block, once known as the O Block. It was Chicago's most dangerous neighborhood block, and was able to turn it into an opportunity block. So we'll see how he did that. He's also the pastor of New Beginnings Church of Chicago and the chief executive officer of Project Hood. That's H-O-O-D, helping others obtain destiny. So we'll be talking with him a little bit later on. Also, folks, Patriot Mobile, America's only conservative Christian wireless carrier, and they want to be your wireless carrier. So many of you have left. You've abandoned the big guys, and you've embraced Patriot Mobile. By the way, they have wonderful discounts if you're in the military, if you're a first responder. And best of all, I find this to be great. Their customer service team is based right here in the United States. You're going to be talking to an American when you check them out. Go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd right now. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Be sure to mention my name, and they're going to hook you up with some great, great discounts. And most importantly, you're going to be supporting conservative causes when you sign up for Patriot Mobile. We'll be right back, America. Well, I was just checking the GoFundMe page for the Mississippi Valley State University. Guys, you guys are crushing it. The numbers are already up $10,000 over where they were yesterday. So that means a lot of you folks have already been over to the GoFundMe page to donate money. They're trying to raise $300,000, and we're at $272,000 right now. And that money will be used to send the HBCU marching band there to Washington, D.C., where they're going to march in President Trump's inauguration. What a great opportunity for these young people, and what a great honor. But that's not how a good many people see this. Bishop Talbert Swan, writing on X, accepting an invitation to perform at Donald Trump's presidential inauguration on MLK Jr. Day is a disgraceful betrayal of that legacy. Lawrence Ware, writing in The Root, says there's not a single black person I know who wants anything to do with the inauguration. Really? Again, folks, this is not about politics. This is about our nation and our nation's history. And being able to march in an inauguration parade, no matter if you're at an HBCU school or a private school somewhere, it doesn't matter. That's a huge honor. Well, I want to bring into the conversation Corey Brooks, the senior pastor at New Beginnings Church of Chicago, also the chief executive officer of Project Hood, H-O-O-D. We told you about that just a few moments ago. Pastor, good to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
So let's just jump into this. Do you see a problem with the Mississippi Valley State Marching Band participating in the inauguration parade?
Absolutely not. And this is one of the reasons, a prime example of why so many progressives and Democrats have lost touch. This is one of the reasons why, you know, President Trump was able to garner record numbers of African Americans and Latinos to vote for him in the past election, because they refuse to realize that everyone in America does not think the way that they think, and that their identity politics has led them nowhere but losing campaigns. And it's going to continue to be their cycle if they continue to think this way. But we're living in a country where people are hopefully moving toward understanding that we want to live according to King's legacy. The idea and the concept of all of us being one, regardless of our color, and judging people by character is what's really important.
It really frustrates me when I see people making these arguments and they're using facts that do not exist. They say, well, Trump doesn't care anything about HBCUs. Well, when he was president, he signed into law a rule maintaining that they're going to get more than $250 million every year. And that is a permanent bipartisan bill he signed. So the president did what, you know, former President Obama never did, which was sign that into law.
Yeah, with progressives and the Dems, it's never about the facts. It's always about feelings. It's always about emotions. It's always about perpetuating this false narrative and this ideology that wants us to continue to be at odds with one another as Americans. And so we have to speak out every chance we get, like on shows that you have, and we have to use our voice to let the American people that this is not something that we're going to continue to tolerate, that we're going to work toward a different mindset and work toward doing things different. And we're not going to let those individuals who think like that continue to separate us here in America.
You know, Pastor Brooks, I was born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee. We're a minority city, and it's hard for people to understand that it is all about race in our city. It doesn't matter if the person is unqualified. It's what is their political party, what's their skin color. And I'm curious to hear from you. How do we break out of that so that we can really achieve greatness in a place like Memphis, Tennessee?
Right. Well, two things that have come to my mind right off the bat is, one, we have to continue to speak against it. We have to continue to talk about the issues that people sometimes very seldom want to address that are sometimes sensitive. And issues like we're discussing today are very important. And we have to allow people to hear the other side, because I believe when people start to hear the other side, they realize they've been sold a bag of goods, and they realize that the direction that the country is going or the city is going is not a positive direction. For instance, in Chicago, we have a very liberal politics. We have a very progressive movement here, and it has been detrimental. We have some of the worst schools in the country. We have crime at an all-time high. We're continuing to deal with murders. The economic system is falling apart. Businesses are leaving every day. And I think when we address these issues and we talk about these issues and people are able to see it, then they realize that the way of thinking and the way that they've been doing things does not work.
Pastor, I'm curious. I was reading your piece that was published by Fox News, Black Americans, Common Sense and Our Future. I'm just curious, because you're right in the thick of it there in Chicago. Do you ever feel sort of like, you know, John the Baptist? You're just like out there in the wilderness crying.
I'm definitely out in the wilderness crying. And I definitely feel like John the Baptist a lot of times. But the good news is I'm getting the exposure that I need to have my voice heard. And there are a lot of people who are responding in a positive way. And I'm finding out there are a lot of people who think the same way. They just did not, for whatever reason, have opportunity or courage to speak out and say it. And so I'm thankful and grateful that I've been given a great platform to courageously speak out against certain ways of thinking.
So what does that process look like of just opening up and having those conversations and really embracing, let's forget about politics, but just embracing common sense?
Yeah, it looks like, you know, talking about the issues. You know, Shelby Steele and Thomas Sowell emphasized that addressing issues in Black America requires ordinary, everyday common sense, from rejecting excuses for failure to raising standards in education. These ideas are straightforward but often ignored. And that's what we have to make sure that people understand, that these issues cannot be ignored any longer.
You wrote in the column, and I want you to tell our listeners what you did about it. You say there's a public school down from your church, and there are kids in the single digits in reading level and doing math on grade level. And you point out this is a problem all over America. It's a huge problem here in Memphis. So what did you do about it?
We started making sure that we have after-school programs targeting our young people. We have a charter school for 16 to 21-year-olds. And we have a major announcement that we're going to be making on Thursday. I wish I could announce it now, but concerning education and what we're even a larger part of what we're going to do to make sure that our kids are able to read and able to do math. But you are right. In our neighborhood, things have been so horrible. But we're not going to wait on government to try to come in and save the day or to fix the problem for us. We're going to take it and we're going to solve it. And we're going to fix the issue for the kids in our community.
You know, that's really, I think, for me, the starting point is making sure that you've got strong schools. And once you teach a child how to read and instill in them a love for reading and learning, you're growing up a kid that's going to be successful later in life.
Absolutely. You know, if a kid can't read, he's already doomed. We see it every single day with so many young people, first, second, third, fourth grade, who don't even have the basic skill set to read. What ends up happening is they end up getting frustrated. They end up dropping out of school. Most of the time when they get ready to go from eighth grade to ninth grade, that transition, we have a very large dropout rate in the city of Chicago. And it's important that we stop that. And the way we stop it is to take control of our education and not allow the unions to dictate what's going to happen, but making up in our minds and rolling up our sleeves that we're going to make sure that we have the accountability that we need to get our kids to pathways of opportunity.
I'm curious to hear your take on this. President Trump, and you mentioned the numbers, historic numbers. I think he received more black votes than any Republican over 40-some-odd years. And yeah. And I wonder if a lot of it is just being honest and open and going where Republicans just haven't gone before, like speaking at a, you know, going in and meeting guys at a barber shop.
Yeah, a lot of it is about being honest, and a lot of it is about being transparent, and a lot of it is about the conversations. For far too long, I think Republicans just thought no need to have the conversation. Those numbers are already decided. I think Trump revealed that there are people who are open to the conversation, and not just open to the conversation, but leaning toward a different way of doing politics, especially when the politics in our community is so opposite of what a lot of us really believe in. And we, you know, the DEI and the woke ideologies are not overly overwhelmingly supported in our neighborhood.
ProjectHood.org is the website, folks. You got to go check this out. ProjectHood.org. And, you know, Pastor, there's so much truth to that. We, in the Memphis area, there's a neighborhood called Whitehaven, which used to be predominantly white middle class. Now it's predominantly black middle class. And I think a year and a half ago, they started a Republican club there. Over 100 people turned out for that. And it's shocking when you actually do the history of the Republican Party in Memphis, Tennessee. The Republican Party was started by wealthy black businessmen so that blacks could vote and have the right to vote here in this part of Tennessee. It's interesting that that kind of history isn't talked about during Black History Month.
Absolutely. You know, and I think the more we bring that to the attention of individuals, the more we're going to see those numbers grow. The fact that we now have Senator Tim Scott as the longest standing African-American senator in the history of America speaks volumes. But most people don't know that.
Yeah.
So it's stories like that that we got to get before people. And then we got to continue to get the values out there, because at the end of the day, that's what it's going to come down to, the values, what people believe and what they want to stand for and the convictions that they have. And when they realize that their convictions, their values, what they stand for and believe lines up more with the Republican Party, then you're going to start to see those numbers to grow even more.
And it sounds like this is something that can be emulated in other cities, not just Chicago.
Absolutely. What we're trying to do with Project Hood is we're trying to do something that we can take to cities, especially those cities that are having some of the same issues that we're facing with education, with gangs, with crime, with the economy. We're trying to show people that, listen, you don't have to wait on the government, that you have everything you need to roll up your sleeves, gather people together, get a vision and a mission, and go after it. And we believe that when we teach people that and show people the way to do it by creating a model, that we can help a lot of other cities. So that's exactly what we're going to do after we get this center that we're building now. It's $45 million Leadership and Economic Opportunity Center to change the tide of poverty and violence. We're going to take it on the road and do it in some other places. So hopefully Memphis is one of those places.
Well, it were just a quick plane flight down, so the ribs are on me, Pastor, when you come down. So
hey, I'll take it, and if I can get a bologna sandwich with some barbecues, that's even better.
I know exactly where we're going to go. yes, sir. That you're talking my language now. All right. Pastor, we appreciate you coming on. We'd love to get you back on very soon, and God bless your great work there.
You too, and thank you so much. I appreciate being on the show.
All right. Corey Brooks is the senior pastor of New Beginnings Church of Chicago. Got to go check out projecthood.org. That's the website, and they're going to be making a big announcement coming up on Thursday. By the way, if you haven't had barbecue bologna, you don't know what you're missing. That is like a delicacy here in Memphis, and I'm not talking about the stuff you go to the supermarket to get. We should have a conversation one day about that. All right, we got to take a quick break here. What do you think about what the pastor said? It's so simple. The solution to what's happening in this country, and especially in the urban centers, the solution is so simple that people just overlook it. But it really is not about politics. It is about common sense. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, coming up tonight, 5 o'clock on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2, we're going to be talking to Jason Meister. He's on the Trump Advisory Board, And he'll be weighing in on the president's press conference today. Also, Congressman Mike Collins, he authored the Lake and Riley Act. It passed the House earlier this afternoon, just really about within the past hour. So we'll be talking to Congressman Collins. And Dr. Carol Swain is going to be here from the Institute of Faith and Culture. She's going to weigh in on Mississippi Valley State University and the marching band. Can you really, folks, come on. It's what a great opportunity for these young people. And when you push it all aside, and you just heard the pastor say this, when you stop focusing on skin color and start focusing on opportunity and what it means to be an American citizen, you're going to fix a lot of problems in this country. The reality is that there are just a lot of people that make lots and lots of money off of our division. That's what's really going on here. And they can't give up that paycheck. I'm going to tell you, for example, in the pro-life movement, there are some folks in the pro-life movement, and they're not too keen on having abortion completely outlawed because it would end their revenue streams. I know, no, I'm not going to talk about it today, but I'm just saying that there are bad eggs all around, and people are making a lot of money to try to keep us divided, and we call them out on this radio program. So good for you. Good for you, Pastor Corey Brooks, there in Chicago. And I'm telling you, I hope he does come down to Memphis, Tennessee, because Lord knows we could use a lot of help around here. We've got this, I don't want to do a deep dive into this, but our school board is controlled. We have a majority black school board. I think we got one white lady, and that's it on the entire school board. And they went out there, and about a year ago, they hired a very well-qualified superintendent, black lady from Detroit. She's doing a great job. She's turning things around. Kids don't show up for school. Guess what? She goes and knocks on the door. She's very involved in what's happening, and she's rooting out a lot of the corruption and the nepotism. And so now the school board is trying to fire the poor woman. She's doing a great job here. But now they realize the jig is up. They realize that investigations are going to be had, and they realize that the money train is about to dry up. It's about to leave the station. I know I'm mixing metaphors, but bear with me. So anyway, so that being said, I would love for Pastor Brooks to come to Memphis and organize, and maybe, just maybe, that could help point this city in the right direction. Because I do believe that if we can turn around what's happening in Memphis, Tennessee, then we're going to be able to be a beacon of hope for the rest of the nation, and especially for large cities, to know that, you know what, yeah, you can go to the brink, but you can come back, and you can be that great shining city on a hill that Ronald Reagan spoke of. I truly do believe that's going to be the case in Memphis. By the way, all you Republicans, you guys are getting ready to reorganize in Memphis. My understanding is there are 500 people have already registered, but we don't need 500 people. We need 5,000 people at that gathering. We need everybody that wants to save this city, because right now the policies of the Democrats will destroy this city. The policies of the Republicans are going to save it. So anyway, got to leave it there. Folks, tomorrow, another great show coming your way. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax tonight. Be sure to watch us and head over to our website. Read our stories. Get our free products, our newsletter, podcast. Folks, hope you have a great day. You be good, America.